There are interwoven throughout all of Scripture certain statements that inform us that God will one day pay back those who are his enemies. Exodus 34:7 says that God will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Deuteronomy 7:10 says God repays those who hate him. Deuteronomy 32:35 says vengeance belongs to God and so does retribution. Jeremiah 51:56 says that the Lord is a God of recompense, he will repay. Romans 12:19 says vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. All these statements teach us something very important about God. No matter how powerful or prosperous or prominent those who are his enemies are, there will come a future day when God will destroy them with full vengeance. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament present the truth about God. In fact, God wants his own people to realize there will come a day when I will fully pay back your enemies. It's part of his character. It's exactly what this psalm is all about. God will one day take revenge on people who are his enemies and on people who are enemies of his people. And the primary point of this psalm is this: God's people can take great comfort in the fact that there will be a time when God will pay back with full vengeance those who did arrogant and hurtful things against his people. This psalm has specific relevance to Israel. It is a psalm that features both a national lament and a personal lament, but it also has application to us all. There are times when we cry out to God for help and for deliverance, and sometimes it does not appear as though God is answering. We must not ever assume God is not watching and listening. The fact is, he does watch and he does listen, and there will come a time when he'll settle the score against those who did things against him and his people. And that's what 94 is all about. God's people have every right to pray to God concerning vengeance. Look at verses 1 through 3. O Lord God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth, rise up, O judge of the earth, repay to the proud what they deserve. O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? God's people have every right to talk to God about this subject. There's nothing wrong with wanting God to be a God of vengeance, because he is that by definition. The one talking to God here is very open and honest. There are a series of assumptions about God that are made here. God is a God of vengeance. It's often said because there's a difference between revenge and vengeance. Revenge is an act of passion, whereas vengeance is an act of justice. Not certain about this, but what is revealed here is that vengeance is consistent with the perfect character of God. And then God is a God who's able to shine forth his vengeance. Since God is a God of vengeance, there is nothing wrong with God wanting God to shine that part of his character forth against enemies. God can shine forth vengeance just as easily as he can do that with blessings. And that God is the judge of the earth. Most people do not want to think about God in these terms, but the fact is, he is judge of everything, and one day he will judge everything and everyone. Now to us, some people who have done us wrong are out of reach, but not to God. He will judge the entire earth. And God is a God who pays back the proud. One theme that dominates the entire Bible is that God hates pride and God hates the proud. Now the fact is, proud people will not be stopped or silenced by any human. In fact, proud people must be stopped and silenced by God, and he promises that one day he will do just that. And God is a God who controls the time of the wicked. It's a very important theological point for us to grasp. Wicked people are time controlled by God. God operates according to his time, which often for us seems like a long time. When you are the one suffering the hurt, you want God to move fast and you want God to move now. The psalmist knew that the time, this was in the sovereign hands of God. But we also see that God's people are legitimate in giving an accurate description of the wicked. Look at verses 4 through 7. They pour out their arrogant words, all the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. So there's these character traits about wicked people. These character traits are also offenses against God and the people of God. And these people deserve God's vengeance, and the writer spells out why. Because the wicked speak out arrogantly. Wicked people speak arrogantly against God and against those who are right with God. Wicked people know how to use words. They know how to reason, boast, threaten, mock, and insult. And when we speak arrogantly, we are speaking wickedly. and the wicked people vaunt themselves. Wicked people love to vaunt themselves. One Bible teacher said, wicked people love to glorify themselves. They love to promote themselves and present themselves as winners who should be highly elevated by all. The wicked crush God's faithful people. Their goal is to break and crush faithful people of God. They will not honor faithful people of God. They want to destroy them. The wicked afflict God's faithful people. Wicked people do negative things against those who are faithful to pressure them and to hurt them. The wicked people hurt helpless people. Widows and orphans and strangers were weak and needed help and support. Wicked people do great harm to helpless people. The wicked mock God. Wicked people speak against God. Their view is God does not see us and God will not stop us. These people live their lives flaunting and boasting about the fact that God will not ever do anything to oppose them or stop them. And then God's word warns those who are senseless and stupid. Look at verses 8 through 11. Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who plants the ear does not hear. He who formed the eye does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of a man, that they are but a breath. In the context of this psalm, the senseless and stupid people are those who think they are just getting away with their wickedness and think God does not see it and won't do anything about it. There's warnings about this. Senseless and stupid people need to listen to heed God's word. Senseless and stupid people need to put aside their proud arrogance and start listening to and obeying the word of God. The assumption here is that they go to a place where they can hear it. Senseless and stupid people need to understand God's word. The key to changing status from being senseless and stupid to spiritual and wise is to desire to understand God's word. Senseless and stupid people need to know God hears everything. Every idle word and every conversation has been heard by God. Context is this is the God of vengeance. And senseless and stupid people need to know God sees everything. God sees everything. He sees it all. And he knows it all. What in the world do we have to be proud of? Verse 9 clearly informs us that God is responsible for giving people their ears and eyes, and he knows exactly what they've done with their ears and eyes. He knows what they have listened to. He knows what they've seen. Senseless and stupid people need to know God will punish nations. One commentator observed, if God will discipline the nations, he will also discipline the individuals who make up the nation, because nations are comprised of individuals. Senseless and stupid people need to know God will rebuke nations. There'll come a day of accountability in which all nations will stand before God, and one key specific element of assessment will be their treatment of Israel. God will judge nations in the way they treated Israel. And senseless and stupid people need to know God gives people knowledge. God is the one who must give a person knowledge. If a person is to change classifications from one foolish to one wise, God must grant that. And senseless and stupid people need to know God knows a person's thoughts. Think of the millions and millions of thoughts you've had, and think about this. God has known every one of them. He knows the thoughts of those who love him and those who don't. He knows the thoughts of the humble and the proud. He knows the thoughts of those who are godly and those who are godless. And senseless and stupid people need to know their life is a mere breath. The fact is, wicked people are literally one breath away from eternity, and God can pull one into eternity with rapid speed. Men are nothing compared to God. They are a vapor. And then God's people need to know true realizations about God. Verses 12 through 23. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from days of trouble, until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who frame injustice by statute? They band together against the life of the righteous. and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my stronghold, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He will bring back on them their iniquity and wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord, our God, will wipe them out. There's some realizations here. First of all, God chastens those who are blessed by him. God has let you go through some chastening experience. You have come to loathe your pride and sin. You have learned what God wants and you have been blessed by him. And then God instructs from his word those blessed by God. People right with God love the word of God because they're given instruction. When being chastened, go to the word for instruction. And God does grant his people relief when in adversity. God may not immediately remove wicked people for a while, but he will grant relief to his people. In Israel's history, God removed dominant powers from destroying his nation. And God will not abandon or forsake his people when they are in adversity. God's people need to always remember the fact God will not ever abandon his people. God will eventually judge in righteousness and encourage the upright. God's upright people follow righteous judgments. They may not like them, but the upright learn from them. And God will take a stand for himself against the wicked. Sometimes we need someone to stand for us against the wicked. Now we are to stand for God, but sometimes that is a lonely stand. We need help, and the one who can help us is God. God has helped us, or we would have been destroyed. Don't miss the theology of this. God is a God of vengeance. He knows all of our thoughts. It does not help us, then our soul would be destroyed. We have destroyed it ourselves. God, by his mercy, held us up, or we would have slipped away. Our tottering feet have walked way off the path of God multiple times, and if it were not for God's mercy, we would have slipped away. God comforts us with his word in times of great anxiety. You see what's stated here? When we are going through anxious things, God may not immediately remove the wicked enemy, but he will immediately remove the anxiety. God is able to comfort you when you sin. He's able to comfort you when you are sick. He's able to comfort you when you're discouraged and when you're under attack. His comfort comes to you through what he reveals in his precious word. God does not ever ally himself with those who do evil. God is never on the side of those who do evil. God's people need to know that wicked people unite together to destroy righteous people. Charles Spurgeon said these people are great at slander and false allegations. They will use any means possible to trample down a righteous child of God and servant of the Lord. God's people need to know God will give strength and protection to his people. Sometimes it takes enemies in our world to teach us this great lesson. Not strong in ourselves, and we cannot even protect ourselves. God must do it, and God's word informs us time and again that he is the one who does this. God's people need to know that God will destroy evil people. What God's people may always know is that God is a God of vengeance. It may not be immediate, but it is definite.